I've had an idea for a new reality TV show. Bosses from Hell. I think it's got potential. Each week we would feature a different theme or type of boss. See if some of these resonate with you. The ego has landed. The control freak. The chair thrower. The diva. The no-show skiver. The manipulator. The idea or acclaim stealer. Or the no life outside of work for anyone type. Now, I'm not sure that I'd watch it, but judging by all the anonymous blogs on the internet, there is no limit to the material on offer. There are heaps of horror stories out there, and I'm sure that we could have a very lively discussion in this room, sharing past grievances and experiences. Studies suggest that nightmares, insomnia, depression, and exhaustion can all be symptoms of working for a brutal boss. And there are loads of books out there which then claim to offer solutions as well. A Survival Guide for Working with Bad Bosses by Jeannie Graham Scott gives readers all the guidance they need, not just to survive, but to thrive while reporting to someone incompetent, mean, unethical, or even worse. She'll help you devise a strategy, though you might find it a bit depressing reading about all those nasty, incompetent people. Your workplace, more often than not, is a tough environment. We only need to see an episode of The Apprentice to see power games, vengeance, backbiting, and every man or woman for themselves. It's very much the way of the world. But as Christians, it's not to be our way. Do you remember last week? We looked at how we are now aliens and strangers in the world. We are now set apart as the people of God. In his letter, the Apostle Peter draws up a strategy with an eternal perspective that far exceeds any human survival guide. Whilst writing to scattered believers everywhere, Peter gives some radical advice on how to go about living such good lives, verse 12, that God is glorified. And would you believe it? He's even got a little section on relating to our bosses. However, the first title to come from our passage today is not so much a suggestion as a command. Submit to all bosses, both good and bad. Let's read from verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every, no exceptions, every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. And then go on to verse 18, down a little bit further. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Submission is Peter's first example of the good deeds of verse 12. See, think about it. It's impossible to live the Christian life without submission. Jesus Christ is either Lord of all, or he isn't Lord at all. Whether we submit to our bosses or not is a clear indicator of whether we've submitted to God or not. Now, the company I work for is a new media agency, as Jago mentioned, and we specialize in web-based solutions. And when I joined a few years ago, it was just a small family firm. But that has all changed. In the last couple of years, it has grown prolifically, and I'm part of a growing creative team. Now, the problem with that is that now they've had to implement all sorts of procedures and best business practices. And for a creative free spirit like myself, that's an absolute nightmare. Now we've got to deal with timekeeping and performance reviews and these sort of things that box us in. There was plenty of grumbling, and a lot of it came from the creative department. But in light of this letter, I needed to change my operating procedures and, more importantly, my attitude. I needed to submit. Submission is godly living, but there is a qualification. See, while non-Christians often demand total obedience to the top man, Peter, in his letter here, conditions this submission by highlighting that we're to submit for the Lord's sake, verse 13. He also states that the ruler is a humanly created authority instituted amongst men. He's not a divine authority. Peter points to a higher authority above the earthly ruler for whose sake submission is given. He points to God. As a result, that submission must not include anything which the Lord would not want. Things like tolerating sexual harassment, being asked to lie or fiddle the books. Now, don't misunderstand me. This isn't a license now to open rebellion for when you guys go back to your offices. It's a principle to be worked out with humility and respect according to our own unique situation. We're to honor the boss. We're to fear God. We're to love our brothers and show proper respect to everyone, even those who treat us harshly. We're to submit whether or not a boss's character deserves it. Every Christian, no matter what job, profession, or skill, is called to this. Now hang on, you say. You have no idea. You don't understand how tough my situation is. That's true. I don't know if you face bullying in the workplace. I don't know if you're consistently overlooked for promotion or whether you get work dumped on your desk 5 minutes before going home on a Friday afternoon. One of the stories I found online goes like this. My boss refused to allow me to claim mileage for driving to work to pick him up and take him to the airport for a business trip. He claimed that I normally drive to work and the airport wasn't that far away anyway, which isn't true. I subsequently learned that my boss had claimed taxi fares on his expense form for the legs of his trip that I drove him. Now, it's just wrong when authority is misused like that, especially when the injustice involves us. Well, what about the plight of some Filipino housekeepers, girls who are sexually abused by their employers miles from home? What about Zimbabwe or Burma? The sad truth is, authority is often abused. And our sense of justice cries out for these wrongs to be righted. And the Bible understands that. It isn't naive. Scripture makes it very clear that there will be suffering. And that brings us to our second heading. There is a cost. Suffering for doing good. Look at verse 19 with me. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Now, as Christians, there is a call to submit and persevere in the face of injustice. However, we can work to change a situation for good. We can work towards reconciliation, or we can take our case to HR, human resources, or we can even look for a new job. But we are to do all of it, verse 19, as one who is conscious of God. We can change our jobs, but slaves can't. Slaves were nobodies. They had zero rights. And yet by addressing them in his letter, Peter is raising their status. They too are part of God's elect, the people of God. There is no better witness to a world that hates authority than when Christ's followers submit to it. We're to operate with respect even when there's injustice, like a bad annual report, which then affects the pay review or promotion or the allocation of all the good jobs. Unjust treatment offers a golden opportunity to show the uniqueness of Christian service. Our service is not forced, it's voluntary. Notice how Peter clarifies the cause of unjust suffering there in verse 20. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? We have an amazing way in our victim mentality, blame culture, of suggesting that we're never at fault. Have you ever noticed that? No, Peter is quite clear that here he's talking about suffering for doing good, and that's very different. Submitting to authorities instituted among men does involve a cost. Look again halfway through verse 20. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. Do you see it? Harsh injustice is not a fate to be accepted through gritted teeth. We Christians are called to it. Expect it, says Peter. Following Jesus is costly. Bible commentator Edmund Clowney puts it like this. Christians are called to serve others, to go the second mile, to suffer injustice without demanding their rights, knowing that they have an assured status before God and that He will vindicate them at last. In this willingness to serve while suffering injustice, Christ is the great example for those who bear His name. We know all about our heavenly calling. Well, this is our earthly calling, because it was Christ's calling. The Lord who took on the shame and suffering normally reserved for rebel slaves. And this leads to our final heading. You see, our God, Jesus Christ, is our example. Let me read from verses 21 to 23. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled their insults at Him, He didn't retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. It's worth remembering that unlike slaves, Jesus wasn't inferior or powerless. At every step towards His execution, He had legions of angels on standby, ready to move in. He had divine justice on His side. And yet, He endured harsh injustice with sinless, silent patience. There is no other faith on earth where God rolls up His sleeves and gets stuck in. Jesus is no distant deity. He gave no answer to the high priest, to Pilate, to Herod, to the soldiers, the passers-by, or the other thieves being crucified alongside Him. And even more striking is that He was without sin. And that's a claim that none of us can make. Like Jesus, we will suffer. And somewhat soberingly, a lot of it will not be sorted this side of heaven. Justice will not be seen to be done. But look at verse 23. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. See, if judgment was left to you and me in our emotional, hurt, vengeful state, it would be a disaster. No, like Christ, we can leave all payback and retribution to the one who's going to wrap up human history. The one who judges justly. We can trust him to put all wrongs right. What a release. But we can only live like this if we truly believe that God will one day vindicate us as he has already done Christ. Just think if we did get this, if we really believe this. It would totally transform and revolutionize 21st century workplaces. Imagine, no retaliation, no threats, no seething bitterness under the surface. Instead, humility, respect, forgiveness. And that is the example that we've been given to follow. And yet Jesus is more than our example. He's our sin bearer. Look at verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus was innocent, but he took our punishment on the cross. There has never been a more costly submission, nor an act more commendable before God in all of human history. Now, Peter's not after a gentle nod of the head here. It sounds good in theory, but in practice, no. He commands us to live it. Put it into practice. This is about you and me watching for opportunities to submit to the boss, to consciously count the cost, to follow the Lord's own example. When is that moment? I guarantee that at least two or three of us here today will have opportunity to live this out within the next 3 hours, today. Perhaps when you come together next week, you can ask the person next to you, how about you? Any opportunities to live this out? And perhaps you're here today, and like the early readers of this letter, you feel scattered, isolated, and totally out of depth at your situation at work. Well, can I urge you to ask for help? You are not alone. You're part of the people of God. And there are trusted friends here who would only be too happy to talk through and pray with you about any situation that's going on. Please just ask Jago, Charmaine, myself, or any of your friends here at the end of the service. I will put up with whatever the boss throws at me because I'm conscious of God, verse 19. Because it's commendable before God, verse 20. Because I'm copying God, verse 21. And because I'm confident in God, verse 23. But as we finish, there is one more dimension that I want to touch on. Look again at verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Somehow, in a cruel, unjust world, God is able to use injustice and wrongdoing for good, for his glory, even our own harsh circumstances. The ultimate purpose of submitting and persevering with hardship is that the pagans of verse 12, who we live and work amongst, might turn back to and glorify God. Is there anything more important than that? We'd do anything to see our colleagues and our friends, even our bosses, come to a saving faith in Jesus, wouldn't we? Costly submission as evangelism? Now that's something to be embraced. Let's pray. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Lord, help us to do likewise. Help us to submit, to count the cost, and to live the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help those of us here in awkward and impossible situations at work. Give them wisdom, grace, and strength to live this out. And we pray it for your glory alone. Amen.